Zacchaeus, come down quickly. I must stay at your house today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Are you a member of the tribe of Zacchaeus? The tribe, Father Jaime Hernandez, who comes here for the Spanish Mass, says he's a member of the tribe of Zacchaeus. So that is short people. And physically, that's the tribe of Zacchaeus. But you're also, there's a spiritual membership in the tribe of Zacchaeus. And that, I think, is people who are spiritually seeking the face of God. People who are looking, seekers of spiritual truth. And so I hope that whether you are physically a member of the tribe of Zacchaeus, we are all spiritual members of the tribe of Zacchaeus, seeking the face of God. Zacchaeus desires to know Christ, and by knowing Christ, he desires to know God. Now, everybody in Jericho knows that Jesus is coming to town, but some of them make no effort. Some of them don't leave their homes. Some of them don't stop what they're doing. Some of them don't come out to the roadside to see. And some come out to the roadside to see, but just stand there and look. Others perhaps are engaged with Jesus as he passes by. But Zacchaeus makes a real effort. Zacchaeus climbs a tree, this sycamore tree. By the way, if you go to Jericho today, they will be happy for a shekel or two to show you that sycamore tree. God only knows, if you're, obviously, it's probably not the same sycamore tree. But he climbs this tree. He makes an effort. And metaphorically, he makes the spiritual effort we're all called to make, to rise above the ordinary, to rise above your own condition, to seek God, to rise above your usual perspective and to see things differently, from a different perspective, so that you can see God. Zacchaeus is really in search of knowing God, and he interrupts his ordinary life, and he looks at things differently, from a different perspective. And that's the metaphor of that climbing the tree, which also speaks to us, spiritual tree climbers, so that we can see God, and that God can see us. We put ourselves in the presence of God. Now, I want to suggest to you just four basic things that we do, that we should all do, and maybe we should examine our consciences and think, do I do these things, so that we can really be in the presence of God? First, there is prayer. Personal, silent, meditative, mental prayer. Prayer which is dedicated time, which is dedicated to seeking God. Now, what does that mean, seeking God? I think it means seeking truth, seeking goodness, seeking peace, seeking wisdom, seeking to unravel the mystery of your life. You put yourself in the presence of this Spirit of God. And every life should have some time. If you want to climb the tree, so to speak, every life needs some time. Eucharistic adoration is an example of that. You take an hour, you set it aside from your ordinary life, you interrupt your activities, and you focus on God. Or perhaps in your own life there is a moment and a corner that you have where you can seek the face of God. A time when you say the rosary, a time when you read the scriptures, a time when you focus on God's presence in your life. The first and foremost thing that we have to do to climb the tree is to pray, to put ourselves in the presence of God. The second thing, I think, is Sunday worship, because we don't just see God by navel gazing. We don't just see God by looking inward. We see God in the community of faith and in communion. We see God in the Sunday Eucharist. We hear his voice speaking to us in these scriptures. For many people, down through the history of Christianity, in fact, for most people, couldn't read. Even today, probably most Christians in the world do not read and write, or don't read and write well, or don't have a copy of the scriptures. So where will they hear this voice of Christ? They'll hear it in church. They'll hear it read to them. But for us, too, I mean, let's be honest. An awful lot of people don't read the scriptures during the week. So at least once a week, this is a way of putting yourself in the mind of Christ, putting yourself in the story of Christ, in the presence of Christ. We need this. From earliest days, Christians have decided they needed this Sunday worship. It was a necessity for them to be alive in Christ. And it isn't about obligation. It's about necessity. Pope Benedict, back in 1994, when he was still Cardinal Ratzinger, wrote a little essay on Sunday worship. And he mentioned a community in North Africa where the leader of that community was arrested for allowing the Christian community to worship in his home on Sundays. That was where they worshiped in those days. And this guy, Emeritus, was hauled before the proconsul for trial for violating the law by allowing this Christian worship to take place in his home. And the Pope quotes this statement that he made. And Pope being Pope Benedict quotes it in Latin, so he says, quoniam sine Domenico non possimus, which basically the Pope translates, because without Sunday, without the Lord's Day, Domenico, we cannot exist. Without the Lord's Day, we do not exist. For us Christians, we need this time together. We need this to ground ourselves in the teaching of Christ, to encounter him in the Eucharist, to hear his voice speaking to us, to see him as he passes by, but also to see him in the face of the person next to you, because we don't just encounter Christ in the Scriptures or in the Eucharist. We encounter Christ in the body of Christ, which is the church, the people around us. And that's why I always say we invite people into the church to encounter Christ in word and sacrament and one another. In the face of the person sitting next to you in the pew, you encounter Christ. And that's why we need to come together. This isn't about just my own individual relationship with God. This isn't just about me and my Jesus. That really is a very Protestant Reformation attitude toward faith. It's all about me and my salvation. Me and my relationship. But for us Catholics, it's about the we. It's about us. It's about us and this whole salvation of the whole community that I am part of. And I encounter Christ when I come here to encounter others. You know, I mentioned this to you, that sort of the ultimate example of this individual idea of salvation was John Smith. In Virginia, you know, who baptized himself in the James River. Why? Because he said, well, no church was, you know, good. Every church was full of hypocrites. No church could, felt he could confer upon him grace. And so, you know, so he baptized himself. Well, what does that say? You know, I mean, does that mean he didn't need baptism? Because he was already, if he was worthy to baptize himself, I guess he really didn't need baptism at all. No, we come here also to recognize something else, what Zacchaeus recognized right away, that we're sinners. We say that at the beginning of the liturgy. We confess our sin and we say, Lord, have mercy. We recognize right off the bat, the first thing we do every time we gather, that we're sinners. We're really not worthy of all of this. But we want to encounter God. We want to be in his presence. A third thing that you and I can do to put ourselves in the presence of Christ, to climb the tree like Zacchaeus, is to go on a retreat once a year. I think this is an important part of our Catholic spiritual tradition and something that everybody should make an effort to do. Maybe you don't do it once a year, but maybe once in a while, once every 5 years, it would be a good idea to go on retreat. And if you don't like the retreats that we offer here, I'll find you another one. There are dozens of them around. There are family retreats, there are individual retreats, there are group retreats, there are silent retreats, there are directed retreats, there are all kinds of them. But you need to go and climb the tree. Put yourself where Christ can see you and where you can see Christ. In our parish, we have the men's and women's cursillo. The men's cursillo is coming up next week. If you've never made a men's cursillo, for the men of the parish, go. It's Thursday through Sunday afternoon. It's a very good experience. It deepens your faith. Curcio means sort of short course, little course in Christian life. And the women's Curcio is in the spring. We have the men's and women's retreat. We only had 16 women go on that women's retreat this year. And that was from three parishes. You know, we thought, you know, here we're trying to offer this as a way of people pausing. I mean, Zacchaeus had to pause his ordinary work life. He had to leave the tax collector's office or wherever he was and get down there and see Christ. Sometimes we have to pause our lives to encounter Christ. We have the men's and women's retreats. We have the youth retreat. I think it's very important. It's coming up in December. It's not going to be at Emmitsburg this year because the lodge at Camp Summit Lake burned down. So Jan is looking for another place right now. But it was not a great tragedy. That lodge was in bad shape. After 30 years of teenagers being at a go-along retreat there, 40 years. But I'm sure insurance will give them a better facility once it's rebuilt. But we're going to be somewhere else. But I want to encourage the youth to go on this and to be part of it. And, you know, one of the things that parents should encourage kids to do this. They shouldn't be looking for reasons for them not to go. You know, everybody's got soccer and drama and dance and competitions. But, you know, the statement we're saying, okay, those things are more important and you don't really need to go on retreat, that makes a statement about life and about what's important in life. And we should encourage our youth to go on retreat. We should go ourselves. A fourth thing we should do is scripture study. We should all somehow be opening the Word during the week. You know, I feel a hunger for this in my own life. I wish I had more time for it, but I try to do some every day, a little bit, just a chapter a day, if that's all that you can do. Or join a Bible study group. We have five of them in this parish. We have, and we should have many, many more. We have five very good ones, and they meet on Sunday, on weekdays. Rosa has just started one in Spanish, which I appreciate. It's a big help. But join a Bible study group so that you can open the Word and put yourself in a place where you can see Christ and where He can see you. We seek to be part of the spiritual tribe of Zacchaeus. And that also, in one other way, means that we have to be honest about ourselves. Zacchaeus freely confessed that he was a sinner. But he honestly and diligently and sincerely sought to see Christ. I love that line in the fourth Eucharistic prayer where we pray for all those who seek you with a sincere heart. Because that's so many people. You know, lots of people are unchurched. At least 40% of the United States is unchurched. And even the people who are churched only come once in a while. You know, if everybody in our parish came to Mass every Sunday, we'd have three times as many people here. We'd have to build another church. Well, that'd be a good thing. But, you know, the fact is we have to seek God with a sincere heart to really make the effort. And we have to start by confessing our sinfulness. Now, God already knows your sinfulness, but it's important for you to confess it to yourself. Zacchaeus was freely confessed his sinfulness, but he promised a firm purpose of amendment. He promised to change his life. That's what we say at the end of our act of contrition, you know, to amend my life. Remember, the nuns always called that your firm purpose of amendment. You're supposed to promise to change. And that's what Zacchaeus promises. He says, if I've defrauded anybody, I'll pay him back four times as much. I'll give half my stuff to the poor. I'm going to change. And you need God's help to do that, the continued relationship. God does not despise you. God will not refuse to come to your house, to enter into your life. I really believe if we invite God, if we're really inviting God and not our own image of God, our own desire for God to be our servant, but if we're really inviting God, who is our master, into our lives, God will not refuse us. Because God loves what He has made. That's what the book of Wisdom says in that first reading. You, O God, love all things, and loathe nothing that you have made. For what you hated, you have not fashioned. He wouldn't have made you if he didn't love you. And God will not refuse to come to you if you invite him into your life. And you will get the grace not only to accept God, but the grace to accept yourself. And that's a big grace. You know, so much of our unhappiness is because we don't really accept ourselves. We don't accept the way we look. We don't accept the age that we are. We don't accept the sickness that we have. We don't accept the situation that we're in. We just don't accept it. Now, that doesn't mean we should be passive in things that we can correct. We should correct. You need to take care of yourself. You need to work. All these things. But there's nothing wrong with you. God didn't create something that he loathes. And when you encounter God and he accepts you, you suddenly get the grace to accept yourself. Zacchaeus probably saw himself in a new way, not this despised little tax collector in this town, but suddenly he saw himself as a child of Abraham, as part of all of the people there. Poor little Zacchaeus. We want to be part of his tribe, the spiritual tribe of Zacchaeus that seeks the face of God. Hurry down, Zacchaeus. I mean to stay at your house. For today, salvation has come to this house. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save what was lost.